everybody. Welcome to another episode of Courtside with Bielenson Tennis, part of the Tennis Channel Podcast Network. As always, joined with my co-host and Hall of Famer, Steve Flink. Steve, I'm glad to start this episode with a Rafa watch, and it's not Rafa postponing playing for another week. We get to finally talk about Rafa playing. Before we get to your thoughts, I think in an ideal tournament, ideal world, maybe he would have played three matches. Maybe Alex de Minaur would have been the third match. That said, he got two matches in. He looked pretty good. He even said it's not so much crucial that he's winning. It's that he's healthy and can play another tournament. What were your initial thoughts on it, Steve?
Well, he had a very easy time of it in the first. He wasn't really tested in his opening match, so it was really hard to gauge his form, but nice to see that he was looking physically okay. Then the de Minaur was a quick, hard, stern test because you knew he was up against a guy that's just outside the top 10 in the world and has had a great year overall. He played a good first set against de Minaur, David. It was interesting because at the start, he looked a little uncertain. He went down a break and nearly went down two breaks. He played a great point to save himself from going down two breaks. And the next thing you knew, from 3-1 down, he wins three games in a row and goes up 4-3 with a break point for 5-3. And de Minaur handled that very well. You know, he hit a very good first serve that set up the forehand winner, the typical 1-2 punch. And then he held on, and eventually he wins the set 7-5. The scoreline in the second looks a bit worse than it was. It was 6-1, but there was a very long game on Rafa's serve at 1-3. He played a pretty good game and had chances to hold, and eventually de Minaur breaks. And even the last game of the match, Nadal is up 30-love. So that could have been a 6-3 set quite easily. It didn't look to me like he faded physically that badly in the second set. It just looked to me like de Minaur was swinging more freely and was in control of the match now. And maybe in the back of his mind, Rafa was not sure of himself in going in three. There's any number of factors, but he played a decent match. The only thing is that his serve, David, that was the only concern I had. It isn't that he has to necessarily hit his average MPHs, but he was down considerably, and you could see that he wasn't really doing enough damage with it. So almost every first serve was coming back. Hit a couple of good wide slices in the ad court, but by and large, it was hard work on his serve every single service game, maybe one or two easy holds the whole match. So that's the biggest. I thought off the ground, he looked pretty good. It's just that de Minaur is such a great defender that there were so many points Rafa would have won against 97% of the other players, but it wasn't enough to stop de Minaur from. He defended beautifully off Rafa's inside-out forehand. Rafa hit some rocket-like cross-court backhands that de Minaur was able, again, to defend off of. So, okay, all told, not bad. As you said, three matches wouldn't have been bad. Two was good. The big question now, he made some comments about the upcoming tournament in Madrid, the 1,000. And he made it sound like he's doing everything in his power to play. As we speak, the men's draw hasn't been made yet. But he left open the possibility he wouldn't play. I mean, in other words, he wanted to make sure with his training that he was okay. It looks to me from all the news that's come out since that it's a go and that he will play. And that'll be really interesting because now you go from a 500 to a 1,000 that he might get a break with a draw, maybe with his first match, but chances are it's going to be hard to win more than two matches there. But I just want to see the recovery because he didn't have to recover. His opening match was so easy in Barcelona that there was no physical strain. It was over so quickly. But suppose he gets in a tougher opening match in Madrid. That's what I want to see. How does he recover without the benefit of a day off?
Right.
Come back 2.5 hour, 3 hour match. How does his body hold up then? It's going to be fascinating. But all things considered, you'd have to give it about a B+ for Rafa that first week back.
Yeah, I think I agree. I agree with that. Again, I think ideally for me, it would have been great to get a third match in if Alex was that third one. But I mean, Alex is Rafa's second match on clay since May 23rd. 2022. I mean, that's almost 24 months, right? 23 months. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, but it's also a matches period. It isn't even just the clay. It's that he started off in the Australian of 23, trying to defend his title and lost in the second round. And that's when that's when the injury occurred. And then that's a wipeout for the year. And then he comes back this year in Brisbane, almost a full year later. And, you know, once again, he's out again all the way to here. That's not very much tennis in a year and a half. In between, yes, one XO against Carlos in Las Vegas, but I don't put any stock in it because you're not gonna stretch yourself physically any more than you have to. He did make some comments here about how much he could push himself. You could tell he's sort of mapping it out in his mind how much he could do there, hoping he could then have enough left for Madrid, hoping that there's enough left for Rome then so that when he gets to Roland Garros, I think he wants to feel that's when he's ready to go full flight physically. But until then, he's going to be a little cautious in what he tries to take out of his body.
How about this stat that I heard? Rafa has never lost two matches in a row on clay out of 577 matches. I mean, that's astounding. And again, we don't know what the draw is going to be like. We're recording this Sunday night. Again, this is a 1,000 that's now goes around what? What is it, 10 days, Steve? So this will start midweek in a few days.
Right.
I think Rafa may be playing on Thursday, I think I read somewhere. So that gives him, you know, 8 days of in between live competition and matches. Now he's practicing a lot. He's playing a lot of practice sets, as we can see.
David, that's another interesting comment that he made. He said, referring to this past, to the week gone by in Barcelona, that he hadn't been practicing so much. Now, since then, and since he lost to Di Minor, I'm assuming he actually has stepped it up. But that really surprised me because he felt he was ready enough to play. I had assumed by just the mere fact that he entered the tournament and was at the last minute that he had stepped up his practicing. I certainly hope since the loss to Di Minor that the practice sessions are becoming more taxing and that he's testing himself a little bit more.
I think he's testing himself on the serve a little bit more too, Steve.
Well,
so that's
we'll
good. He's going to need
that. Yeah, we'll see. Yep.
The final today, it was a rematch from Monte Carlo with Tsitsipas winning in Monte Carlo. Casper Ruud coming on top today. How about this stat for you? And this is credit to friend of the program and David Zakodin, who's always on with us at our year end. Before today's match, Tsitsipas was 0-10 in 500 finals, and Casper Ruud was 0-7 in finals that were not 250s. So something had to give, right? Ruud, obviously, he's been to the finals of Roland Garros twice, losing to Rafa and Novak. He's an accomplished clay court player, as we all know. He gets revenge. He beats Tsitsipas today, 7-6, 6-3. I mean, for Tsitsipas, I think it's two great weeks, considering what he was doing leading into Monte Carlo, Steve. He was not playing top flight tennis.
Yeah, by the way, David, it was actually 5-3. It looked like
7-5, 6-3. I'm sorry, 7-5.
But yeah, here's the thing of that great stat that David gave you. I think that in Ruud's case, I'm very happy for him because if you reach three Grand Slam finals, as he's done in two different Slam events, the last two French finals and the U.S. Open at 22, you're good enough to do that. If you're good enough to be in the year-end championship finals in Turin a couple of years ago, surely you're good enough to win a 500, which he's now done. Some of it is bad luck, but it, as far as Stefanos, here's a guy that's won Monte Carlo three times, that's won the year-end championship. So again, the fact that it was just it's just a peculiar thing that he would have had this terrible record in 500 finals and that still lingers with him. In his case, David, what I had to give was that I think Tsitsipas was a bit weary, a bit fatigued. He had a much tougher week physically. He had to save a couple of match points in the quarters. Then he had a tough come from behind against win over Lajovic in the semis, the Serbian. So I think he was feeling it a bit coming in today, but also Ruud was at his very best. And he was the one today dictating off the forehand, contrasting that with a week ago when it was Stefanos's forehand that was the signature shot on the court that day. And today he wouldn't let Stefanos set up and hit inside out forehands. He took control himself. I thought Tsitsipas was a bit slower, didn't serve as well. That's the other thing. Tsitsipas in the Monte Carlo final saved all 8 break points he faced, never lost his serve. Today, not so fortunate. And at the crucial, there were a couple of crucial breaks. One was when he was up 3-1 in the first set. So he really wanted to try to seal that first set, and Rude broke back there. And then the last game of the set, the 5-6 game, he gets broken again. And the second set was pretty clear cut in Rude's favor, getting a break for 3-1, and he nearly broke again to go up 5-1 and served his way through that set very comfortably. He played an excellent match in relatively cool conditions, and he sort of never let Stefanos settle in. So it's nice that they split the two finals. They both take a lot away from those 2 weeks, because Tsitsipas is victorious in Monte Carlo. Barcelona goes to Rude. They each have a win and a final over the 2 weeks heading into Madrid. So they're both going to be quite confident as they play that event in the altitude of Madrid.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, both these guys, they're playing on that. And the final four, we'll say, at Roland Garros, depending on how the draw shakes out. I mean, both those guys could easily be playing in the final weekend in Roland Garros.
Well, they could. They could. And they've really started off this clay court season beautifully. And each has... They each have a win against each other. They each have a title. They like the way they're playing. And
they like the surface. They're really comfortable on the surface.
Yeah, they love the clay. It'll be fun. Interesting to see how they respond this week. They should have enough time to still be okay physically. For the reasons that you cited about Rafa, they wouldn't play before Thursday, to my understanding. And so they'll get some days off here and be ready to go. And certainly they feel like they're performing pretty close to peak efficiency, both of them. So I will be watching them with heightened interest.
And you mentioned relatively cool conditions. You talk about the tennis in Munich. I mean, that's like spring weather in Chicago in April. I mean, it was freezing over there. Jan-Lennard Struff. I mean, oh my God, he beats Felix in one day, or in the morning, you know, early afternoon, whatever. Then he beats Holger Rune 6-2, 6-0 in 44 minutes. He beats Taylor Fritz in the final today, 7-5, 6-3, the identical scores of what Rude beats Tsitsipas. Struff, I mean, this is his first title, I believe, right? 33 years old.
Yeah,
33 years old. I mean, I've been a big fan of his game for a while, but he had a heck of a week.
Yeah, you could see how overjoyed he was afterwards, almost speechless as he tried to describe the feeling of doing this at 33. Remember a year ago in Madrid, it was Carlos beating Struff in the finals.
Right,
That's coming up again now, and it was 3 sets. So I didn't think he'd ever be able to surpass that. This was a really nice week for him. The Holger Rune match is inexplicable to me, though. I don't know. There's something was wrong with him physically again. He's a great competitor, so it's usually something related to his back or his physicality.
Something that, you know, after the fact about an illness or something, but yeah, something was
off. Yeah, he's had a couple of days like that this year, overall playing better. But so that was a bit of a gift for it to go so quickly. But the final today against Fritz was very interesting because Fritz was defending extraordinarily well. He played tremendous defense in this match. Struff was just blasting away relentlessly. And in the first set, with Struff serving to stay in the set, Taylor had 3 set points, 15-40 in an ad. Didn't get an opening on any of them. He didn't put a foot out of line. There's nothing he really could have done to have won any of those points. Struff holds on, breaks Taylor in the next game, wins the set 7-5, and then he went up 2 breaks in the second and lost the serve once, but closed it out pretty easily from there. So that was a very impressive win because I thought maybe Taylor on the clay might have the edge, but that wasn't the case at all. Here's a guy that is now showing us late in his career that despite the nature of his game, that he's probably as good on clay as he is on hard courts.
Right. I wouldn't think. I think he'd be more imposing on the hard courts as opposed to clay, but he's doing just fine. He's had great, great results on clay. Let's switch over to the WTA Tour. There were 2 tournaments. One, shout out, Sloane Stephens winning a title in France over Magda Linette. good for Sloane, right? It's been, you know, we all remember the 2017 US Open. She's won a couple more titles here and there, not maybe what we would say are big titles, but if you can get through the week as a last person standing, kudos to you. And this will give her confidence on the clay going forward. We know she plays well on the clay. She's had very good appearances in the past at Roland Garros. Not as deep as the tournament that was played in Stuttgart, with two.
David, just a quick word on Sloane. It puts her, I checked the rankings and she's gone to 33. So she's on the cusp of being seeded at Roland Garros. That's what will mean a lot to her. In addition to the confidence boost of winning a title anyway. She also beat Caroline Garcia in the semis, which was a nice win. Garcia better on quicker courts, but still a good win for Sloane. And just to tack on to what you're saying, not only has she done well in Roland Garros, she was very close to winning the title before losing to Halep in the three-set final the year after she won the U.S. Open. So that was back in 18 in Roland Garros.
He was up a set and a break in that, I think, 3-0 in the second.
Yeah, she won the first right, and she was pushing hard midway through the second, couldn't finish it off. But it was that was actually that period from the Open of 17 through the end of 18 when she also got to the year at WTA finals. That was the best tennis she's ever played. But it is nice to see her take the title today and hopefully get herself seated. Shouldn't take too much between now and Roland Garros to move up a few more notches and then be seated and not have to worry too much about this. Hopefully not worry too much about the first couple of rounds. But I thought it was an impressive week for her. Up and down that final against Lynette. Won the first easily. Lost the second badly. Went up 5-1 in the third. 40 love. And somehow lost the game from triple match point. But broke her in the next game to close it out. So
well, that's like it's apropos to what she's been playing like since she's had that great run in 2017 through 2018. Is the match itself was almost like her struggles since that period, and that she's so up and down. When she's playing well, she can beat anybody. But just hope that she can get some maybe consistent results now through Roland Garros. So
yeah, I hope so too, and also just that she can peak there. Whatever she does between now and Roland Garros, I hope that she saves her best for the clay in Paris. You know, that's obviously where she'd like to do her finest work.
Yes. Let's go over to Stuttgart now, because on Friday there were two interesting matches. Coco Gauff played Kuzmic. Coco saved a ton of match points. I think it was 7 match points or 8 match points. I think Kuzmic won it on the 8th match point. And then this other match was Emma Raducanu playing Iga, who played that match tough. Emma lost 6-7, 3-6. Thoughts on those two matches, Steve?
Yeah, no, great for Emma. Really good first set. Iga, I have to say, I was a little surprised from some of her comments afterwards. She really lauded Emma for the way she's playing. But when they asked if she could get to top 10 level, she said she's not sure. You know, that's very difficult to do. It seemed to be a diplomatic way of her saying she's not so sure she will. But I'm encouraged that Emma is on that path at least to get, say, into the top 15. It was a good week. Now, as far as the match, Coco was, that was a highlight match of the week against the Ukrainian. Difficult name to pronounce. I think it's Kostyuk, but I'll take your version. The bottom line is she's Ukrainian. She's very appealing. She had a great week. She'd saved 5 match points in the previous round. And the Coco match was crazy because Coco saved the first 3 match points that you mentioned on her own serve at 4-5, then held, broke, and served for the match. Got to 6-5, 30-15, couldn't close it out. And they go to the breaker, and Coco's down 6-2 in the breaker. Amazing. Back to 6-all, saves 4 more match points, and unfortunately set herself up. A nice low backhand pass that set up a forehand pass that was not difficult, but she hit it in the net.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, that was setting up for match point. She fights all the way back from 6-2, and that's a forehand pass that was not a tough one that she should have made, and I think she's probably kicking herself for that.
Oh, absolutely kicking herself. Would have given her a match point. And then at match point down for the 8th time, she missed a pretty easy forehand as well. So it was a gallant fight from Coco, and she had her chances, obviously, to go from serving to stay in the match to serving for the match, to making the comeback in the tiebreak, only to fall a little bit short. But then, of course, in the end, Rybakina, who beat Iga in a really well-played semi, to me was the best-played match of the week, was her win over Swiatek, which was three sets. And Iga had two love in the first set and then won only one more game. Then in the second set, they came down to one break at the end for Swiatek. So it's one set all, and I liked her chances then, but she got thoroughly outplayed in the third. And then Rybakina cruised through the finals. So another great week for her. She's had an absolutely astonishing start to 2024, which I would think, based on her form, that somewhere along the line here, whether it's another Wimbledon, she'll be a threat again at the French. She will be at the Open. I like her chances somewhere along the line here to win one of the three remaining majors.
To me, it's still Rybakina, you know, not in any order, but these three names, it's still Rybakina, Swiatek, and Sabalenka. And then everyone else is slightly below that trio. Just the way that they've performed so far this year and how what they've done consistently, nothing has changed my mind to not let that trio be a step above the rest of the field.
It's true. But I also, what impressed me was that, again, she's another player because her serve is really the cornerstone of her game. I think of her as being better on the quicker course. We know that from Wimbledon. But I watching her play that well on the clay this week, I don't see why she can't be a very strong contender at Roland Garros. You know, her game is translating almost as well to that surface as it is to hard and grass courts.
Want to give a shout out, Garbin Muguruza. She, had a heck of a career. She hasn't played in a while, but she announced her retirement. She won Roland Garros. She won Wimbledon. Only player to beat Venus and Serena in a Grand Slam final. Reached number one in the world. She won the WTA finals too, right? That was like her last title of her career.
Yeah.
Not a bad one to have as your last title. Tremendous player. Thoughts on Muguruza's retirement?
Yeah, well, this is back, I guess, in 16 and 17 that she won those two majors. And it was impressive because beating Serena in the French final, Venus in the Wimbledon final, that's no mean feat. And then to add the WTA year-end championships later on, a few years later, you know, that was a nice extra feather in her cap. And she's struggled with injuries since and maybe just trying to figure out if she really wanted to play again. And then apparently she does not, but she can be very, very satisfied with her career to have won two majors in addition to the WTA finals. So she's going to be a very strong Hall of Fame candidate. And she was great to watch, terrific to watch, because she was a big hitter and she had a lot of style on the court and people really enjoyed watching her play the game.
Yes. One other mention I want to note on the USPTA Advantage magazine, your newest article on Daniil Medvedev. I've read it. It's very well done, as all your pieces are in that magazine. So if you get that, check out Steve's newest article. Madrid is next, Steve. No Novak. He said non-medical reason. What are you taking out of that? Anything that you're concerned of or not?
No. Really? No, I'm a bit surprised, but you know, a year ago he didn't play it either. He probably feels that he got four matches in Monte Carlo, which was more than he might have anticipated at the start of the week. So it was a pretty decent start, even though he could well have won the tournament. He got to the semis. And now I guess he feels like, look, the trouble with Madrid is it's with the altitude, it's nothing like Roland Garros.
Right.
But Rome is. Rome is quite similar. So I think he probably feels like, look, save his energy. He's got an awful lot on his plate starting at Roland Garros, to go from Roland Garros to Wimbledon back to Paris for the Olympics. So he wants to stay fresh. I think it made sense. If he'd lost earlier in Monte Carlo, this decision would have surprised me. But under the circumstances, and he's confident that with a decent draw in Rome, he can get into the swing of things quickly there and make a bid for yet another crown in Rome. So no, I wasn't shocked by that, and I'm sure he'll be raring to go when they get to Rome.
Well, Steve, this was fun. Again, Madrid starts mid-next week. We're recording this on Sunday night. Thanks, as always, to my friends David and Katie. They're the brains behind the camera to keep me in line. They're not the brains behind you, Steve, because you don't need anyone to cover for you.
Well,
you've got
it covered. I appreciate that, and thank David for that. It was a nice stat on Casper and Stefan, I was telling him we appreciate it.
We always do. Any final thoughts before we end the recording?
No, I think Madrid's going to be very interesting in the terms of seeing whether Tsitsipas and Ruud can maintain the momentum, which they probably can, to see what Rafa's going to do. Sinner coming back in, having had a frustrating loss to Tsitsipas and Monte Carlo, does he kind of resume his winning ways? And will Carlos be ready?
Yeah,
we don't know. We're not certain about that. He hasn't pulled out yet as we speak, but he's had that arm injury. And so if he does play, will he be full strength? And will he be the Carlos that we've seen there the last couple of years in Madrid?
I mean, you mentioned Carlos, and it's like, it's amazing. He's still so young in his career, but like, he burst on the scenes. Everyone thought like this guy was going to dominate clay, and he's had great results in clay. But for him to have majors at US Open and Wimbledon and not Roland Garros, and now he's struggling with some, you know, health concerns, it'll be very interesting to see how he does leading up to Roland Garros. Hopefully he can get some matches in.
Yeah, it will be, because he'd like to have it. He doesn't have to win Madrid, but he wants to sort of be healthy and get a bunch of matches in and then do the best he can in Rome, because this won't be his typical preparation. He's used to playing his way straight through. He's missed Monte Carlo before, but he's always ready by Barcelona. So this is going to be what could be a very important week for him.
Thanks, Steve. This was fun.
Thanks, David.